Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Tour scouts saw a spring wheat crop with high yield potential and little disease pressure on their first day of scouting in southern North Dakota. The Wheat Quality Council's hard red spring wheat tour's first day yield averaged 48.1 bushels to the acre, higher than last year's 43.5. That estimate includes both spring and winter wheat varieties. The average for spring wheat yield from 156 fields was calculated at 48.3 BPA compared to 43.3 BPA. Make that 48.3 BPA, compared to 43 BPA from last year. Scouts reported spring wheat is about a month to 6 weeks away from harvest, with crops in the western parts of North Dakota closer to maturity than wheat in the eastern part of the state. PepsiCo Incorporated said its second quarter revenue rose, helped by higher beverage and snack volumes, and it increased its earnings outlook for the year. Pepsi expects core pre-share earnings growth of 8%, up 1 percentage point from its previous guidance. Revenue edged up 0.5% to $16.89 billion. Pepsi reported a profit of $1.98 billion, down from $2.01 billion in last year's second quarter. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 17,079. It's down 34 points. The NASDAQ 4462 is up almost 7. The S&P 500 is 1984, and it is up 1 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the southwestern Corn Belt, continuing to have a problem with some drying occurring. Yesterday, of course, the afternoon temperatures were in the upper 90s to about 104 degrees. That was on top of a second day, actually a previous day, in which there was also some heat in the southwestern Corn Belt. But the first of two cold surges has begun to move through the Midwest and will likely bring some relief to the southwestern Corn Belt today. Temperatures will be less oppressive there, but a quick return of warmer weather is expected as we go from Friday into Saturday, and temperatures will once again be back into the 90s to possibly near or slightly above 100 degrees. All the while, it's not raining, and the ground is turning drier across the region. This includes Missouri, Kansas, parts of Nebraska, and southwestern Iowa. The forecast doesn't generate a lot of precipitation across this region for a while, and because of that, we're going to see the ground continuing to firm up, and crop stresses are going to be increasing as we move forward in time. Now, the cool air mass that comes in to reinforce this one that's present today is going to impact the southwestern Corn Belt as we get into the weekend, and it will stay around for a while into next week, and that will help to reduce evaporation rates, but it doesn't come with a lot of rain, and so the southwestern Corn Belt will likely continue to see a firming of the soil and an increasing amount of stress, although with temperatures cooler than usual during that period of time, we'll likely see at least that stress level holding into a reasonable level. But that may change a little bit later in August and into early September when our soybean crop will be in the pod filling stage of development, and that's what we're going to be watching most closely. Rain will have to fall significantly in the southwestern Corn Belt between now and the middle part of August to help assure that there's enough moisture for crops to feed upon when we do go into a drier and warmer mode on a more consistent basis in the western Corn Belt during that late August, early September time frame. In the meantime, most of the central and eastern parts of the Midwest will continue to see regular currents of rain and thunderstorms, and temperatures will be notably cooler biased there. There's not going to be any heat whatsoever that will work its way east of the Mississippi River, and we'll likely see temperatures often in the 70s and 80s across some of those regions as we move forward through this next full week to 10 days. The cooler weather will help to conserve moisture, but it's also going to slow crop development down a little bit, and we will be looking for some kind of a warmer weather weather bias a little bit later down the road. Now, it has been a favorable summer for temperatures in the eastern and lower parts of the Midwest in general, and our degree day accumulations are actually a little bit above average, so these cooler bouts of air are not having a huge impact on the region right now, but we are still watching real closely for what will happen a little bit later down the road here. Most of the temperatures in the Midwest will stay cool through the end of next week, and we'll likely see some waves of precipitation coming and going, so the environment will still be good for most of our summer crops. Our low temperatures at night will be 60s and some 50s at times as we move forward through this period of time, and we'll expect to see enough drying in the southwestern part of the Corn Belt again to enhance some of that concern over future crop development. Outside of the U.S. Midwest, conditions are still very good down in the Gulf of Mexico coast states, and including the southeastern states and the Delta, and these areas will also see a continuation of good mixed weather over these next couple of weeks. The southern U.S. plains will be a little bit drier biased, but not necessarily in a negative way, and if you're at all concerned or interested in what's going on up in Canada, you should know that their weather is also mostly favorable, although there was a tremendous amount of drowning out of crops in parts of the Canadian prairies earlier this summer. About 9 million acres were lost because of excessive moisture. That is over, though. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 621 and three quarters, up a half. December, 634, up one and a quarter. Soft September wheat, 524 and a quarter, down a quarter. December, 548 and a quarter, down a half. September corn, 358 and a quarter, down two. December, 366 and a half, now a quarter, down two. July, 393 and three quarters, down two and a quarter. August soybeans, 1197, up 13. September, 1092 and a quarter, up 7 and a quarter. And November is 1063 and a half, up 5 and 3 quarters. August soybean meal, 387.50, up 570. August soybean oil, 35.96, up 3 cents. August live cattle, 157.50, up 155. August feeders, 218.50, up 247 and a half. And August lean hogs are 126.30, and they're down 127 and one half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Thanks for saying. Soybeans are the leader to the upside. Is this just a matter of traders remembering, oh, yeah, we sold a bunch yesterday?
You know, I think that the demand side of the equation, we saw yesterday morning, we saw some exports of meal and oil on the product side. I think that kind of solidified some value levels. And going forward, I think we've probably broken some support levels, but we're basically bouncing to check and see if that breakdown was valid. I think realistically, most of the people that we've talked to are saying the weather is not quite as friendly for the beans as we'd like it to be. We're a little light on precip. We've started to work into the reproductive phase of the season, and we need some more moisture. And I think realistically, before we take prices much lower, we probably need to get another rain or two.
Well, we did make a new low in the November contract before we've made this little charge to the upside, and we do have a gap up there. It seems to me, though, we're at a level where beans need to make a stand for the bulls. Otherwise, I think you're looking maybe something closer to $10.
Most assuredly. Technically, the $10 target is definitely in the crosshairs, but as you say, right this minute, it's probably a little too soon to press it. We need to see that some rain in the rain gauge. You know, we've seen the forecast that says, you know, we're going to get some rains, but they've been really haphazard pop up. It hasn't been a very good frontal system or, you know, a real widespread rain. So if we got one of those rains where everybody got, let's say, a half to an inch or an inch and a half, I think we would definitely press to that $10 mark. And until we get that rain, I think the bull is not going to be fed. But the bear's not going to have a chance to break the market down either.
And corn also plummeting to a new contract low today.
Yeah, as far as the new contract low today, I think realistically the corn market's got fair value, but when you think about the USDA and their systematic way of calculating yield in the next report, you know, we've got really good stands, the conditions are great. I think realistically the prospects of getting a good recovery effort in the corn market is fairly slim.
At $3.66, what size of crop do you think traders are trading?
You know, we were in depth through the mix yesterday. Right this minute, it's tough to gauge, but I would say they're taking a yield above 170, but it's tough to really mathematically figure between 172 and 174. That's probably the high end of the guesses, but realistically, I think this price level is basically north of 170.
All right. Thanks much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. September corn at 358, down 2.25. December, 365 and 3/4, down 2.5. Go out to July 15, 393 and 3/4, down 2.25. August soybeans, 1194, up 10. November, 1061.5, now 3/4, up 4. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.